Frank ready?
Ready.
Marty ready?
Ready.
Brendan ready? Wow. Another podcast. Let's do it. Hammerbarn Project. Hey, guys. Hey, listeners. How you doing? We're here. What's the latest with the people who are here? Like, literally here. Thank you, listeners, for being here, listening to here.
Virtually here.
But thank you, gentlemen, for being here, literally in the room here.
Literally and figuratively. Can't speak.
Good for a podcast. For a podcast, so I hear.
This episode of the Hammerbarn Project is called You're Our Hero, Bingo.
Speaking of here, we're here. Is that enough?
That's enough intro.
Hey, too much intro, some may say.
Just on that little quirk of the English language you just picked up on there, leads me to a story. My family and I are going on a holiday to New Zealand.
Delightful.
A couple of weeks as we're recording this, but basically...
Going on a journey,
one could say.
Journey? What's another word for journey? We'll unpack that.
But basically, because this obviously had been planned and booked in for a while, we've sort of been leading Jack up to this and going, hey, man, here's a bit of a story that Mum wrote about going on a plane. Never been on a plane before, 4 years old, right?
Wow.
And here's what we're going to do. We're going to stay at all these farms in New Zealand. And there's literally places where there's shots from inside the cabin where there's just this alpaca looking at you through the window sort of thing. So he's going to be great. We've got all this stuff planned. My wife is an amazing, she was in events previously. So as far as planning something like this, she's all about it. She's done an amazing job. So leading Jack in, we said, Jack, in March, we're going to go on a holiday to New Zealand. And okay, we ride horses? Yes, we will definitely ride horses. That's all booked in, confirmed. One day we were at grandma's house and he just randomly packed up his toys, which is pretty a rare event. And without being asked, we're like, okay, that's weird. He's got his little backpack on and he's just gone and marched and sat down by the front of the door. We're like, you okay, buddy? Like, are you feeling all right? And he goes, I'm going to march, and then pumps his arms like he's marching, to the airport, to our holiday, to ride horses. And we're like, difference between marching and march.
I love it.
Let's try and teach a four-year-old the concept of months.
Yeah.
Has not gone overly well. Now that we are in March, he's understanding the crossing off of the days on the calendar, March 1, March 2.
Yeah.
You had to take him to the farm barn, didn't you, just to diffuse it a bit?
Yeah. He's like, he would literally stand at the front door, go ride horses. And we're like, buddy, we're in the suburbs. There are no horses here to ride. Let's take you to farm barn to take the edge off.
But all I have to do is march. And I just marched. That's what you told me.
He understood the sequence of events, right? He was going to march to the airport to go on our holiday to ride horses. He got the sequence right. It's just the English language tripped him up a little bit.
Wait, you mean I have to wait?
Yeah.
How long do I have to wait? Until a month called March? No. That sounds like a lie. Sounds like you're making it up.
Yes, that's been fun.
Oh,
now
that
it's nearly here, he's very excited.
Because you had to, you're going to New Zealand because you had to return that nasty ring that you found, right? You had to go on that. Mm. Yeah.
North Island?
On that Lake adventure.
Calpo, North Island? I think it is.
We are going to Hobbiton. That's booked in our itinerary.
Well, there you
and
go.
Jackson looks, he goes, he's seen some photos. He goes, what's that place? I was like, look, it's got grass on the walls of that house. He's like, grass? That's crazy. That's his
classic
phrase.
Jack line. Yeah.
No, I've had the pleasure of the North Island and South Island, but the Hobbiton's rad. They're pretty, it's pretty cool. It's New Zealand's rules.
Yep.
So good.
It's going to be good.
Yeah. I think I got that right. I think Lake Taupo, I don't know.
Yeah, we're going to Taupo.
Right.
Yeah.
I think that's on the banks of Lake Taupo. You can look across and see I can't remember the name of the mountain other than the one they used for Mount Doom.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that's where that is.
Yeah,
correct me if I'm wrong, listeners.
Well, yeah, we're going to like the glowworm caves and stuff. Obviously going down to Wellington for a bit and stuff. So, going to
Wellington. Sorry.
Windy Wellington.
Windy Wellington. Mm.
And the Australian cricketers are over there right now, so I may or may not wear my kit around
just in case.
Just because there is a test match literally happening while we're in New Zealand, And Ali sort of looked at me and was like, really? Is that your idea of a holiday? And I'm like, well, thankfully for you, the test has been sold out because their grounds only hold about 20,000 people. But that's not the point.
I like the joke you told me before, because I think at the moment New Zealand's not doing very well.
In the cricket,
and you're like, oh, maybe I won't wear my Australian kit over there. And Frank's like, you said to a mate of yours.
I said, in our cricket chat, I was like, oh, maybe I shouldn't wear my Australian cricket kit over there because Australia are kind of thumping New Zealand at the moment.
Right.
And the reply from our mutual friend Luke was just like, man, as long as you're not wearing a Wallabies jersey, you'll be fine.
Yeah.
That's the sport they really care about.
Yeah. When I was over there.
What is it? About 11 people who care about cricket.
Yeah. Well done. Yeah. Some Kiwi bloke told me that once. He just said, I said, oh, yeah, cricket and everything. He goes, mate, there's 11 people in New Zealand who care about cricket. Such a good line. Oh, dearie me.
So why did we mention holiday? Why did we mention New Zealand? Why?
That's a good question. Maybe if we lean on Martin once again for some bare bones.
Ow!
Stop that!
Literally. No, maybe some clues as to why will reveal themselves.
Okay. All right.
Let's go on that journey.
Let's go
through the bare bones.
On that adventure. On its surface, this episode is really just a transparent unpacking of Joseph Campbell's monomyth structure.
But of course.
The Hero's Journey. As detailed in his book, Hero with a Thousand Faces. This is just a thin veneer over a deeper narrative of global and social political machinations.
Mm-hmm.
A journey for spice. Cinnamon, cardamom, ginger, pepper, nutmeg, clove, turmeric. The spice route through Asia, Northeast Africa and Europe defined the trade and cultural diffusion between these regions. From antiquity through the Age of Discovery, through the years of the Ottomans, the Middle Ages, the Renaissance, even into the emergence of the British East India Company.
The British.
These different regions, like, you know, the symbolized here by the different areas symbolized by the face painting, but not always a positive experience for all the parties. Mm. The magpie here really stands in for the native inhabitants of these lands who needed to be countered or pacified in order to bring the wealth and benefits home.
Oh.
There we go. That's
right. Amazing. Whoa.
Sorry, a bit too heavy?
That got historical. That's great.
Welcome to the Thinly Veiled History Podcast.
I'll never look at a magpie the same way again. Yeah.
Sorry, too soon? Okay. But Frank, what episode are we really talking about?
Oh, this is a slightly political way to say. This episode of Bluey is called Curry Quest.
Yeah, it is.
Oh my goodness.
Wow.
So what really happens? Dad's taking Bingo on a quest to go swap curries with the border collies, which is also being told, you know, we're seeing that story at the same time as Jilly is explaining the nature of a quest. What is a quest? What's the structure of a quest? It is really just repeating Joseph Campbell's ideas and how that goes down. And through that story, we find out about Bandit going away on holiday and how they're kind of dealing with that and other problems. Like, how do you get past a magpie? And how cool Mackenzie's mom is.
Yeah, the whole border collie family are just super cool.
I love how, and again, skipping around because it's what we do, but I love how when they're leaving, Banner's like, see you later, border collies.
Yeah.
You know, it'd be like, you know, you saying, see you later, Allens.
Collective.
Yeah.
And at that point, Mackenzie's already back in the tire swing.
Yeah.
I love all the different things Mackenzie's doing.
Won't stop.
He's just everywhere.
Mackenzie is the wonderful comic relief in this episode, and he's very good at it.
Mackenzie might be my fave. Just Mackenzie's attitude is always just on point.
Yeah.
Or like, from what episodes have we done and what episodes haven't we? But
we've done a few. Space.
We've done space. Just all okay. Yep. Like. Just all
we're not
going to
go
really?
Back and count like the last 60
There's so many good moments where Mackenzie's just like, okay, just going
just
with
chill.
It and just surprised by something and then just like, what? Oh, all right. We haven't done the decider, have we?
No.
No.
We'll do that one when Australia lose the next rugby match to New Zealand.
Yeah, Mackenzie's just got such a great, yeah, such a great attitude of just going with it and just going, what? Well, okay, I guess.
I want to take us back to the start, though.
Yes.
I knew
please,
you were
going to
do that.
Please do, otherwise.
I always do. Let's just pull that rope back a bit, shall we? Or maybe that yarn.
There you go. Hey.
Rainbow yarn?
Oh, yeah, rainbow yarn.
If we can find it.
Well, that's the funny thing. I think I've seen somebody point out that there's another episode of Bluey in which there is rainbow yarn.
Ah.
So potentially.
Before or after this?
Yeah, see, this is it.
I mean, wibbly wobbly timey
wimey. Yeah. Yeah. I think in theory it's before it. So that's why they were pointing it out. But as we know, like, yeah, it's a bit, you know, wibbly wobbly timey wimey. So maybe she completed her quest and she found her yarn. But I do love that opening sequence of them all cuddled up on the couch, like Bingo having a little nap.
Yeah, the lap dog.
Yeah. And I also love where Bluey's sitting like on the arm of the chair and her tail's just kind of hanging down off the side of the chair.
The things they choose to do, like the dog things that they choose to put in, are really clever because they're also things that, you know, a little four-year-old would, you know, curl up and just be on mum's lap, just kind of like getting the warmth while mum's doing something else with her older sister, you know, but it's a real lap dog thing as well. So they lean into the dog tropes, kind of like have some overlap with humans, which is always fun.
And we start unpacking. We've got the, you know, she literally says, and then adventure calls, which is in the Joseph Campbell sequence. It's called The Call to Adventure. So
So it wasn't just a bit of fluff that you put in your...
No, that's an actual
fluff.
Thing.
Are you accusing Marty of fluff?
Excuse me.
No, of course. Every reference he's ever made is...
Are you calling me paraphrasing the Wikipedia entry on the spice trade?
Never.
Fluff.
Never would I.
I tell you, when you went spice, I was like, oh, are we going to go June? Is that where this is headed? Like,
melange. But no, and I also love the, you know, you're like, okay, it's time to head off. No, I'm not interested in that.
Yes.
Speaking about wibbly wobbly timey wimey,
little
that
like
gets
mispronunciation of things is wonderful.
Mm. I've got it for real life. My favorite one at the moment for Naomi is just for a brief full moment. I just need to do it for a brief full moment.
Naomi says that.
Yeah.
That's
brief full moment.
Excellent.
That's it's really good. So that's
brief,
one of the ones.
A full moment.
Yeah. So
I'm wondering what things she's hearing you guys say that would manifest into that. That's
I had
great.
One this morning. She was showing me something. It's like mum brought home a mug. And she's like, yeah, it's real. Naomi says, yeah, it's really stylish. That's what I say all the time, you know, when she comes out, Dad, look at me. I'm like, oh, you're so you know, that's so stylish. But as a parent, I think those, you're like the briefful moment, like sometimes they'll say something slightly wrong and you'll repeat it back and you're like, oh, you want to go to the park or, you know, whatever it might be. And you'll correct them as you do it. That one, I just go with briefful moment.
Yeah.
Like,
just
you
go
just need
it.
To do it for a brief. Full moment?
Yeah, nice.
Okay, yeah, sure. I'm God, going to reinforce that one because I love it.
God, I love when kids talk like that. All parents should be nerds. And just like surround their kid with funny, nerdy ways of saying things so that kids talk in ways that make me laugh. I just think that's what should be the standard. I mean, you guys do well. Both of your wives are cooler than you. But you and your... I can talk. I don't have one. But
there it is.
There it is. But you know, you wave that nerd flag. I just didn't want to disparage your wives because they're both really cool. And you guys, I mean, I think you're cool. But that is no metric on which to base yours.
My mum thinks I'm cool.
Yeah, well, that's nice, Frank. Good. I'm glad.
I was going to say the other one I like that Naomi has is instead of saying yesterday and tomorrow, she says last day and next day, which I'm completely on top of. That makes way more sense.
Yeah, last day, next day.
Yeah.
And what are we, you know, doing we say day? Last night. Nobody says tomorrow. Nobody says yesterday night. I used to say yesterday night when I was a kid. I'm like, well, that's more specific. Everyone says last night or yesterday. Why not conflate the two? Yesternight. I think that's fun.
I think
you see how I was keeping things moving.
And then I just
and you just
jumped in front of the train
wham,
again.
Yeah, that's right.
Have another go. Have another go.
In every quest, there is a jester. who slows the hero down.
There's always a jester. That's the rule. And now I'm just quoting Kevin Kim. I am no help at all.
The other bit I like from that, so we were talking about, what were we saying, you were talking about the way that the dogisms get brought
in.
Yes,
that's
a very part of the Bluey motif, the Bluey, you know, style. Like, one of the things I really like as well is the, you know, Rogue and Josh and Beef Rangdon and Peshwari Naan. That feels very much...
Peshwari Naan.
It's very much like the Poinciana tree or the something or other. It's just, you know, what is it? Sorghum? Uyghur sorghum?
Yes.
It's like specific and it's just there. And it's not sanitized for the kids. It's just kind of like, it creates so much texture.
Yeah.
And, you know, Peshwari Naan is a funny word.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, especially when it gets repeated and sometimes incorrectly. I think Bingo does it wrong, maybe.
Yeah.
Yes.
When they run out of
Peshwari or something.
Anyway, doesn't matter. But it's just that just goes, that is part of that Bluey flavor.
Yes. And it's just so true to, like, it goes into what I was saying about how when kids say something you don't expect a kid to say, it's funny and it's really fun. And so I think that the show captures that when it does things like that, because it gets you asking questions about where did this kid hear that?
Mm.
And it's about just like surrounding your kids, not with like a parent, like a parent, an empty parent, like robot. But the parents are people, and they're going to surround their kids with their parts of their own lives. And it's just always fun to see, like, I never knew a kid who would say, oh, the Poinciana. And it's, but that little bit of specificity is just, I don't know, it's fun. It gives depth to the story of this kid and what their family's like. And I don't know.
I love, we get a bit of a cameo here from our good friend Doreen.
Doreen.
Acting as the old sage, you know, giving the advice. So up ahead is this. I also really love her Nana trolley, because that thing is so on point. My grandmas on either side had one, and I just have vivid memories. You know, we'd go down the shops, and this is when I'd visit them in Melbourne, and then I was the one who had to help lug it back, because, of course, by then it's all full and heavy with stuff. Just wonderful little detail. Like.
We did so you used the word sage, and it just put me in mind of when we were in high school, an early, did you ever, like, I don't know if you guys had the same experience. I mean, you both had like,
I siblings. Did go to high school. Yes.
Not that part of the experience. I mean, you both have siblings, but for me, because I have like three older siblings and three younger siblings going through school, they'd be going through the same high school. They'd be doing like the yearly project. And then I would see my next sibling down in the rank and so it'd be like, oh, that's something that I'm going to do. So in year nine English, it was a real thing at my school to do the quest story. Mm-hmm. It was a project where you'd have the framework of the story, and then I might have spoken about this on the podcast before, and it had like beats, but then you could flesh that out from there and add more things, but you had like the sage, and then the puzzle, and they're like, there was like a labyrinth chapter, like where you did a maze if you wanted to, or some other kind of puzzle or hurdle. But the sage was always one, like, it's part of the quest story. You meet somebody, you know,
it's a hero helper.
Yeah. Okay. That's it. And just the Doreen's reveal of the hat, like turning around and see, it's like, oh no, the damage that can be done. And it just, it is such a quest story, this whole episode.
Well, can we talk to magpies then specifically? Now, I think they've been sort of shouted out on this show before, but there's an ad actually currently running that I think is actually an ad for an iPhone of all things, where basically this woman on a bike is attacked by a magpie and she falls over, and the whole point is the phone is undamaged because Apple.
Right. Blah, blah, okay. Blah.
But it's borderline legit terrifying, and people would look at that and go, oh, it's just a bird. No. These creatures suck.
Yeah, right? They can hurt you.
I remember,
will go for your eyes.
I remember, and the whole thing about watching them and don't take your eyes off them is 100% true. Mm. I remember walking home one day, it was before I was able to drive, and basically it was just this big, long, straight road with just the only thing, no trees. It was just these the light posts for the lights at night. And I remember as I'm walking towards them, could you see this magpie up there? I'm like, okay. All right, that's cool. And I did exactly as I did on the show. As I went under it, he was just watching me and I was watching him. I sort of turned back And because there was nothing in my way, I was able to maintain eye contact and sort of walk in the opposite direction. And then I was like, very much like the show again. I was like, I can only do this for so long. I need to turn. And then he would like go to the next one that was like 5 meters, 10 meters in front of me.
Yeah.
And this pattern would repeat over like, you know, like, hundreds.
Are you protecting your nest or are you following me just having some fun?
And that's the thing.
Because this ain't fun for me.
I get it. If they're in a tree protecting the babies, that makes perfect sense. This, I was like, I'm being hunted here.
Yeah.
And then I got distracted because it was alongside a road and a big truck or something went past and I sort of looked at the truck. And then I looked back and I was like, he's not on the one behind me. I looked at the front. He's not on the one in front of me. Where is
Duck.
He? And yeah, I've looked up and this thing is like a meter or two above my head and like going for me. And I'm just like, you butt. Like he waited until the perfect opportunity just to attack. And I'm like, no, what is this vile creature?
For that split second.
Yeah.
Have you been Sweet Brendan?
Maybe when I was a kid. Honestly, not in recent years, which is remarkable because there are lots of pine trees that the Maggies love to live in around my place. But I've been lucky so far. But it did teach me something this episode. Is it the male usually of the magpies that guard the nest and do the swooping and stuff? Because you think, you know, babies, you think maybe maternal, but they do refer
to it as a dad. Yeah, they do.
But I do love magpies every other time.
Yeah.
Other than when they're trying to, you know, hurt you.
It's only a certain time of
year. Their voice, I don't know if... Like,
the sound, they make a nice sound.
In fact, when colonization happened and all the getting political again.
This is quite
again,
a leap.
The white people who came and colonized were just...
The British?
The British. let's be real. And they wrote letters, but there's like... historical records of letters being written back to England saying, oh, the cacophonous sound of these birds
and
you fools. It's the most beautiful sound in the world. Like, I think magpies have like two voice boxes and that's why they're able to do that beautiful warbling.
Yeah.
It goes in. It's just like the most majestic sound. In fact, magpies were just voted the most beautiful sounding. Like they did this ABC radio did this survey to see who like what was the most beautiful bush sound or the nicest bush sound, and like magpie just cleaned up because just the morning call of the magpie just this beautiful melodic warbling. Oh man, I'm home.
I did get swooped when I was younger. I was riding my bike and yeah, that's nasty.
Yeah.
But we actually have magpies who come and visit us at our house. I think you guys
I got one too. Yeah.
And so, you know, they become your friends if you feed them. apparently, like, because we moved into our house and the people who were living there before were like, look, we've had the same magpies coming for like 25 years.
Yeah.
Now.
Yeah.
So you can imagine how many generations, and they, you know, we saw them bring their babies this year.
Yeah. Like, aww.
Yeah. It's nice. Very sweet. But I like the conversation, like, that, Bandit and Bluey, Bingo have of the whole thing of like, you know, why is he swooping? Oh, he's just trying to be a good dad.
Yeah.
You know, like, that whole conversation, the way he lays it out, feels very much like the same thing as in Stickbird. Like, oh, they didn't know that we just stopped playing with it. The way he just explains things in this relaxed and truthful manner. He doesn't belittle the bird or anything like that. He's like, no, he's simpatico. He's just like, no, he's just trying to be a good dad. Like, I guess I'm trying to be.
Yeah.
Like, he doesn't know that we're not trying to hurt him. So we're going to work around it. Yeah. But it's a really sweet little conversation. Also, we skip past my favorite line from Bandit.
Face paint. Face paint.
and it's the Bingo stare at camera, like, face paint. What did you say? Like,
yeah. It's so also the, like the thing of kids hanging on to the edge of doors. That's a for real life. Yeah, I'll tell you what. Like when you're carrying
your
kid around.
He's already let go as well. And she's like,
Like when you're carrying a kid around, they don't want to go somewhere. Usually when you go through a doorway, that's when they'll latch onto her, which is made more funny in this one by the fact that he's holding her by her feet.
Yep.
And just holding on her. Like usually you're just kind of, you know, holding them normally and then gripping onto the edge.
And that opening scene where he first grabs her feet and she's like, hanging on to mum, and then he lets go and it springs back and they're just still crocheting.
But I just love the exaggerated drawn out S on face paints. Because he knows that's going to be like a trump card.
He's like, oh, well, you know how Mackenzie's mum has? Face paint.
And we know, Frank and I know about how effective face paints are.
Yeah. Can I? Shameless plug.
Ooh,
shameless plug.
Oh, yeah. Shameless of course plug. You can. Yeah,
my
yeah,
sister,
yeah.
my sister has anybody local to the Adelaide, especially Northeast era, the Northeast area, jump on the Instagram and go to one word, Daisy Chain face painting. One word, Daisy Chain face painting on Instagram. It's Erin Williams. Slip. She's married now. Erin Burton.
Williams.
Erin Burton. She is a delight of a human being, and she she'll paint your face and the face of your children. jump on the Instagram, and you can book her for weddings, parties, anything.
Face painting at a wedding would go off.
That would go off,
wouldn't it?
Man, untapped.
Yeah.
Or is it? That's great. I want face painting at my wedding. Erin, set aside a six-month window in 2062 when maybe I've finally got my act together.
I did love also how you refer to it as the Instagram.
The Instagram.
That's really nice, Nana.
I don't know what I'm doing.
But you'll, of course, all remember Erin, who was here for our...
She's been on episode, yeah.
Our baby race episode and our army episode as well.
Yeah, that's it. I do also, before we get to the magpie, we have the foreshadowing of the magpie with the council signs.
Yeah, that's really they nice must be well. Accurate.
Do they,
I need to look up that PDF.
Has anyone ever seen one of those
something.
In real life?
I don't know. Yeah, it might be more of a thing in Queensland.
Yeah,
it might
be
a serious thing.
I feel like I've seen, you know, snakes sighted in this area.
Meant to look it up, actually. So,
but, you know, I feel like they exist.
I mean, if Pluto's taught us anything, that's accurate.
How
traffic.
It looks like, yeah.
And I love the bus as well when they get on
the bus.
It's got like that transit. Sort of like stripe down the side of this bus, and it looks like anything, but it's like a lead and a collar.
Yeah.
I meant to look up that as well to see what the Brisbane bus lines look like, but I bet it's just some like stylistic strip.
Yeah,
and they've just copied it one for one and just put a lead and a collar on it. This show.
And it's got the Chuckney Chim.
Movie poster.
But I have to tell you, the thing I love the most out of that whole region is the tactile indicators. The little yellow dots on the floor.
Oh, boy.
Just outside. So that's where blind people know where they're going and that sort of
thing. And they mean different things. The elongated sort of like strips mean...
Stop here.
It's like crossing. That's a road crossing.
That's there's one that's just the round ones. And that one means stairs ahead and one means like road crossing.
Yeah.
I feel like the long ones are like there's a step down here.
Something. There you go.
Yeah, yeah.
Like
maybe I got that the wrong way.
You know, Ali, my wife Ali, who has also been on the podcast, is an architect.
Cooler than you. Go on.
Yep. Because she can point out where there really should be tactile indicators and there aren't.
Nice.
Like, that's the thing she can't not see is just like, oh, those tactile indicators shouldn't be there. I'm like, okay, all right. So like, it's just in my consciousness now.
Yeah, nice. You don't know. It's like learning about a certain kind of car or something. You never see it. And then when you know about it, it's everywhere.
Yeah, I'm with that with technology. Any show, movie we're watching, and they do, you're like hacking. Ali will just look at me.
Cooler than you. Go on.
Yeah, she is. And I'll just sort of make a face as if to go, what they're doing is pretty rubbish. Or just an impressed face and go, not bad.
Why do we like that so much? It's not necessary,
but I'm
addicted to those YouTube videos of real scientists debunks movie or real member of the special forces reviews force scenes in movies.
Exactly.
Or coffee drinker reviews barista scene. Watch them all. I don't know why it's kind of a negative attitude to go, what's wrong with this? Rather than let it tell the story. But I'm so like that. Any scene in a movie with like a band or something like that's out of sync.
Exactly.
No musician was in the editing bay for that scene.
That guy pretending to be Freddie Mercury isn't singing this song.
Yeah.
How rude.
How rude.
And I love when they finally get to the Mackenzie's house.
Yes.
And it's just like Mackenzie's dad just goes,
Curry Swap!
And he's just watering the garden. Classic hose.
Which is so like a classic adult male going, it's the first.
Yes,
just
exactly.
Like creating this, you know, thing around a thing for no apparent reason.
Making an event.
Making it an event. And I have to, because we've spoken about our mate Ferg. Like the most Fergful moment I think in this whole thing is when like dad's there going, I'm skipping a bit ahead anyway, but like when Dad's going, now you have to put the curry leaves in
after,
very specific instructions.
Very specific instructions for the good of your enjoyment of this specific thing.
Like, but that you didn't ask for them.
Did not ask for
unwanted
them. Unwanted instructions.
But you know, it's like, there.
Yeah. I love you, fam. I threw him under the bus in our last canine thing where I said he goes on about Paul Kelly all the time. And he does, but I'm not going to say.
But he does have good advice.
He does have good advice.
Even though you didn't ask for it.
We just don't ever publicly admit that.
No. We would never go on a podcast saying that we love the man.
No.
That would be unwise.
What would that do? Yeah.
Hey, can we just go back a bit?
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay, Marty.
We're in the... I'll pay that. when we have an interaction with Doreen, the sage, if you will, we get the first hint that there's a B plot to this episode. Oh, you'll be pretty excited, Bandit. You go.
Yeah.
And Bandit's just doing like, cut.
And then it cuts back to Chili and Bluey, and it makes you wait to figure out what that's about.
Yeah.
They kind of really foreshadowing. They stretch that out and
play that out really well, because it's, you know, some of the things that get where there's a B plot, you're like, okay, you see it straight away. But when you're watching this episode for the first time, you're like, wait. What is happening? And then they just, back to the curry quest, forget that ever happened. And then when it does, it is revealed at the McKenzie's house, you just sort of go,
is. Man.
And your dad just told my dad that something's in there.
McKenzie. And then when he goes up, Dad, are you going away for ages? And you see McKenzie's dad just...
Back away.
That might be my favorite moment. Yeah. Just like
through the screen door.
Backs into the room like Homer Simpson into the hedge. Yeah. So good. I'm almost at that point of the episode where I do this thing every time where we're all chilling and everything. And then I'm like, oh, we might forget something. I'm like, well, let's hit the beats. What are we doing? And if I just did that from the beginning, I would be a much more efficient podcaster. But oh man, McKenzie in the face paint. Just Mackenzie's mum is so lovely, and she's trying really hard with the face painting. And like, hi, Bingo, and I'm not very good at it. Like, and then Mackenzie's supposed to be a cheater.
Am I?
That whole, oh man, Mackenzie in that bit. And just like, even if Mackenzie, it didn't bother Mackenzie that he didn't know what he was.
Yeah.
And then when it's a cheater and not what he's like, am I? Oh, well, I'll keep doing my thing. Mackenzie just has got the attitude that I want to emulate. But and just the whole moment with Mackenzie's mum of, you know, can I tell you a secret? Yeah. Bingo, I'm thinking of not doing this.
Yeah, wonderful moment.
And then Bingo, and I suspect Mackenzie's mum knows exactly what she's doing.
Yeah.
And just like, oh, you know, I'm not very good at it. But then, you know, no one will get their face painted. Mm-hmm, yeah. He's like, yeah, I guess. Well, I think you have to do it.
Yes.
Even though I don't want to.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's just her teaching, they're telling Bingo exactly what Bingo needs to know to boost her confidence. Mm-hmm. And just get through this moment, even though you don't want this to happen. You know, you got to be brave. You got to be like a tiger. You know,
because 6 weeks is six weekends, which is forever. Like a
long time.
How long? 6 weeks. It's 6 weekends. I was waiting when we were watching it beforehand. I was waiting for you to respond to that, Marty. I'm like, that's such a Marty appreciated line.
And just, well, one of the things we don't really, we have the montage at the end, but
and the music,
the
jump,
music,
drop
it. One of the things that doesn't get dealt with, I'm taking it back to the 6 weeks, because one of the other reasons why this is a very for real life episode for me is because my wife Ali just came back from a week away, so 6 weeks. I'd probably be dead.
Yeah.
I don't think I would be alive anymore.
You wouldn't make it.
So, you know, that doesn't come through in the montage at all. Chili is looking fine.
After 2 kids.
Chili's a lot cooler than Bennett, so.
But yes. And I love the...
That's a running theme of this episode, isn't it?
Why not? Leading into it.
The closing seat, we have the closing sequence with the magpie and the trick. The jest with the faces on the back.
But see,
it's almost like another Greek myth type story, isn't it? Like what they do is they do, you know, to fool the thing. They but dress up in sheep's clothing or whatever it is. But
that's a for real life moment in that. That's what the advice is. If you live in an area where this is a common problem and you're riding your bike, for example, you put eyes on the back of your helmet and then that's enough to make them... I've heard mixed reports
about the googly eyes as to whether that fools them. But I don't know, that face looked pretty good.
Yeah.
I think Mackenzie's mum did a good job at that face.
Yeah, she's getting better.
Yeah.
She's getting better. I think I'm getting better.
Yeah. Oh, man. Ready? That bit. Yeah. Just, you're my hero, Bingo.
It's got the sun setting behind them.
Yeah, the sun setting.
Wonderful.
And I love the...
So epic.
There's this tiny little establishing shot where you see a couple of magpies fly into that water and land on that water tower in the
back. Yeah, wow.
Absolutely beautiful. And then there's just... And then the end sequence, so much happens so fast.
Oh, that montage. Yeah, you know, they're retelling the story at dinner. You can see Bandit sort of doing sweeping motions with his hand. The airport, the drop off, and then he's as literally as Bandit's leaving, he points back and Bingo stands on one leg.
That was the first time I noticed it just as we watched it before this episode.
Yeah.
That's why I laughed so hard. As he's about to get on the plane, there's no dialogue, of course, because Joff's score is just swelling over everything and just holding everything together beautifully. And just that little point from Bandit and Bingo's up on one leg. Just so good. And just to go on about the music one last time, like everything's so adventure, everything's so quest and adventure. And then when you first see the magpie, it's sort of like a Western standoff.
Yeah,
and there's some pipes over and some almost baritone, but guitar just like twanging, just like really feeling like some kind of Western cross kung fu,
squinty eyes,
staring each other down. Yet the melody of it is still adventure-y, so it's kind of like molding everything together. Mm. And then the how it swells at the end with them going to the fair and the face painting and everyone's getting their face painted and Mackenzie's mom is killing it and then they're at the airport and a Bandit comes back from the airport and Bluey's there with her completed scarf all crochet it's Queensland, you probably don't need a scarf but she just wants to show her dad after 6 weeks look what I did with mom and just the voiceover in there, like, why does anybody want to go on a quest? They seem really like scary and hard. And like, well, they don't, a lot of them don't want to remember and everything, but they do it because, but they do it. That's what makes them heroes. They do it anyway. Yeah. Oh, I can't.
I love that, you know, there's a very, that human moment of coming back to, people coming back from a holiday or something. I think we've all experienced that. And like, I remember I got to tell a story because I don't think I've told this one on the podcast before. Mm. Like, I always think that airports are a weird place for humans.
Yep.
Like we're humans. We're like, and they're like very structured and there's all these rules and all this sort of stuff.
But they're different rules.
They're different rules.
The rules of the outside world you forget.
Yeah.
And then the rules of the airport you must assume immediately.
Yeah. That's it. Yeah.
Look, I've seen Die Hard 2. Those rules are a thing.
My brother loves Die Hard 2 because of the temporary mobile command center. He said any movie with a temporary mobile command center, like The Rock, they set up a temporary mobile command center at Alcatraz. Yes. So he's taking suggestions of other movies, action movies with a temporary mobile command center.
That is a very specific niche.
If they've
got
one of those, then it's an action movie he can get by. I love that take. Anyway, sorry, Marty, go on.
That's okay. I remember being like, I used to, for work, sometimes have to fly out super early in the morning. And so I remember being in the airport and looking around this strange place. There's not that many people there. And it's all these shiny surfaces stuff like that. Very flat surfaces, all this very modern stuff. And it's just weird when you're looking at these funny, wobbly, like humans are wobbly, funny things, like fleshy things.
They all have their own stories.
They all got their own stories and they're all like, you know, but they're not like these straight line things like the spaces. And then I remember looking down and going, oh, I am one of those funny, wobbly, like I'm trapped inside one of them. And I became very conscious of the fact that I was in a body. And that is the worst time to go through airport security. You're like, hello, fellow humans. And just like,
I'm moving normally.
I am not
suspicious. I am concealing nothing. I am just one of you.
Please don't test me for bomb residue.
Hello, yes, normal human I am. Tell me what I do.
Anyway,
you need to suspect me of nothing.
Frank, yes. Yes, I'm going to call upon Frank. He's got his hand up at the back there.
Thank you, Frank.
Actually just trying to say, can we cut? I've got to go pick up Jack. He's like...
Oh, I see. Okay. Well, we're back.
Yeah.
Sorry about the whiplash that you as a listener are no doubt suffering. A little bit of a change in tone because you might have caught the last bit of what Frank was saying, but Frank had to go.
Yeah. I got called on an emergency quest, which is code for toddler meltdown. Get here now.
Not as fun as a curry quest.
No.
In any stretch.
No. Felt like I was dodging magpies, these other cars on the road, saying get out of my way.
Yep.
So I can rescue my wife and child.
Yeah.
So,
and you might only hear two of us because upon that quest, we realized that Martin had to go on a quest of his own. So so he had to go and help. Cause that's life.
Calamitous.
These guys are dads. I'm not. But these guys are dads. And so they got stuff to do. And you're going, we mentioned already, you're going to New Zealand. So we literally don't have any time to
re-record this and go again because I'll be in New Zealand.
So we're flying duo for the rest of this episode. But now, so... sorry, apologies from Marty and apologies from us for the change in tone.
Was there this awkward moment where you were the only person in my house? Is that what happened?
There was. And I had an apple and maybe a little bit of a peanut butter sandwich. They caught me just, I was like, sneak a sandwich. And then the moment I'd spread the peanut butter, the car get rolled in and I get to the door. Ali walks in and I'm just halfway through a piece of bread and peanut butter. Like, hey, yeah, just make yourself a home there, Brendan.
Took me back about 20 years.
Yeah, right. Whole thing. Right. I blame your mum for being so accommodating and just making me comfortable just eating your stuff, even when it's not her house anymore. But anyway, what were we saying? I don't even remember what we were up to.
We've had our adventure. It was a crazy finish. We're going to do this as a duo, which kind of leads us to the segment we usually do.
Yeah.
That has... four of the five letters of this show in its name? Is that fair to say?
I don't know where you're going with that. But I can't wait to find out.
The name of the show is Bluey.
Yeah.
The segment we're going to do is...
Oh, right. I see what you're saying.
It was tenuous at best. I'll give you that.
Yeah. My segment. Stupid. Before we do, have we hit everything? Because we don't have Marty here to look through his notes. Because he takes so many notes because he's such a nerd. that guy. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, this is interesting where we can talk smack about the third person now.
We can talk smack about Martin.
The only other time this has happened is when we recorded in a hammer barn and we were all wearing our mics. And you went off to go pay for your reciprocating saw. And me and Marty were like, we can talk about Brendan now.
Yeah.
He's so smelly.
I have to go back and listen to that. That was pretty funny. And then you came back and I was like, hey, what are you talking about? What's going on?
Oh,
you have to listen. You did exactly that. Wait till the edit, Brendan. So Mackenzie's amazing. The music and the montage are just so heartfelt.
Yep.
What an adventure. The magpie is really scary, but Bluey, when Bingo just gets the idea. She's just about to leave. And then she gets the idea like, wait a minute, can you paint one more thing? And it keeps you hanging again just so that... there's so many good things. If we have forgotten anything, we are so sorry. It's been quite the whirlwind getting this podcast done. But we will be back. Thank you for joining us. Now, Frank, was there anything before I give credit where credit's due? Was there anything else that you can think that we might have forgotten in this crazy old mixed up episode?
No, I feel like we've covered it pretty well. Marty was on to page 3 of his notes, which is usually about where we sort of wind
double-sided.
Up. Double-sided, single line spacing.
Get it all.
He's
going to
hate us for this. It's going to be quite funny.
And we might have to dig up an old recording of him doing our sign out as well, because we don't have him here to do the sign out.
Oh, what are we going to do? We'll think about that.
I'll steal it from another episode and no one will notice. It'll sound.
Marty's just been replaced with a past version of himself.
Everyone will think he's been here the whole time. He's just been quiet. It'll be that seamless.
Perfect.
All right. Speaking of perfect, all the people who work for this show are perfect.
Yep.
Let's give credit to one of them. And today, the credit goes to Where It's Blue. Seamless, as I was saying. From the animation department, Daniela Hammer.
Hooray!
Daniela Hammer, thank you so much for all you do for this show. A background artist in this episode, I believe. Mm-hmm. And in fact, I am looking at the other roles that I think mainly Daniela has been... Oh, hang on. No, I can't use IMDb.
Oh.
But a background... Known for Bluey, background artist in 115 episodes.
Nice.
So a background artist veteran. And thank you, Daniela. What a start. This episode is no exception. You bring yourself to this, and we are so grateful because we get to enjoy it. And what an episode. Daniela, you get the credit, and the credit is Blue.
Favorite background artist episode moment of the episode.
Uh-huh.
It's right at that really poignant moment where Bingo and Dan are having the talk.
Yes.
About, yeah, I'm going to go away. And in the background, cricket bat, tennis ball.
Yeah.
Chef's kiss.
Could have been Daniela. Could have been Daniela.
Could have been.
One of the team.
Perfect.
Thank you so much for all you do. Woo! So,
This is usually the part where Marty starts going, aisle 300, just to try and round us up.
To try and round us up and doing all these like little things. Yep. What did you think of this episode, Frank? How did we do?
Which part of said episode? Because it's been a little bit, stop, start.
stop, start.
Yeah, but like,
what did you think of this episode, Martin?
Why does he sound like
video games?
Oh, speaking of video games, I plugged my sister's face painting thing earlier.
I think I
must plug another podcast that I've been meaning to plug for episodes upon episodes. My brother-in-law Nick, and his two children, Oliver and Edward, they get together and do a podcast. Please look for it. It's called Arcade Dad. And I guest on an episode, and they actually get one of the hosts of Good Game SP.
Nice.
GGSP, I think that's who they got to do a bit of a Q&A. So there's a couple of episodes up now. Look for it on all where you get all your podcasts. It's called Arcade Dad. Just look for it. Maybe we can put something in the show notes.
Yeah, we can do that.
And so those two plugs from me.
Look at that.
The Daisy Chain face painting on Instagram and Arcade Dad, where you get all your. It's a really great podcast with and Nick is a really really wise man who likes to find video games that he think cultivates really really. Good-natured play with your kids. So it's a family show about what the video games he likes, what video games he grew up with, what video games the kids like, just video game news, and what games are good to play as a family and what that can bring to...
How old are his kids, roughly?
His kids. He's throwing me under the bus. Mm. No, I reckon we're talking...
Just giving some context to the listeners.
Under 10. Let's say under 10.
Yep.
In fact, I got the...
Your Google calendar out. You don't need to look up their birthdays.
I was going to sneakily look at my Google calendar. So I'm not an uncle who remembers all the ages all the time. There's 17 of them. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
but I am an uncle who has it all in my Google calendar.
He's an organized uncle.
Although I got a new phone recently and I forgot to bring the calendar over and I missed two birthdays.
Oh,
I'm going to have to make it up to you. Sorry, Jade. Sorry, Ashley. No, it was Jade and Reese. Now you see,
this just gets better and better.
There's so many. I'm sorry. I need my phone to work. But yes, no. Daisy Chain face painting. One word. Daisy Chain face painting on Instagram and Arcade Dad wherever you get your good family friendly podcasts.
I love that you're like plugging all this stuff, and you know we're just skipping over the fact that you're going to be in an episode of Bluey.
I figured I've ranted enough about that in the K9 episode. I think in the K9 news. But yeah, that's
April 14.
April 14. Well, by the time this comes out, who knows? It might have already aired. We are so professional.
Love it.
And speaking of professionalism, you know who runs a hardware store very professionally?
Oh.
People at Bunnings who just recently turned it into a Hammer Bun.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was a professional move.
Very professional. Mm. You know, I suspect it will happen again given
that would be great.
Wild success.
And then we'll have to record there because it would be annoying.
Yes.
We'll have to record there.
We can record there and say, hey, with one of the voices of who's been on the show. Yeah. Special guest.
Special guest.
Rob McManus. Sorry.
I'd love to meet Rob.
Yeah. Where would we record? In the store, though?
I reckon. And I think I'm in agreement with all the other people who are definitely here. Frank and Martin, definitely here in this room. Not just an old recording at all. I think we would all, the three of us who are here, definitely would record down aisle 300.
Left at the fake grass.
Should I cut in one?
I don't know.
Should
I just use
that? I think you should just leave that. Leave that. Leaving it.
Created and produced by Frank, Brendan and Marty. You can follow the Hammerbond Project on facebook.com/HammerbondProj, @HammerbondProj on Twitter, or Hammerbond_Project on Instagram. Theme featuring Nibblings, Kaylee, Jade, Ashley and Reese, and PA announcements by brother-in-law, me, Josh. Thanks for listening, and remember to get down to Hammerbond for cheap shovels.